If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Othey, James Lyons, joined by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
Randall Vaughn Engston.
Okay, so you've had your gym for 10 years. You haven't painted the walls. There's no new equipment. The pricing is maybe upped a little bit over the years, but you're still kind of providing the same thing, be it boot camp, be it anything under the sun. How much longer do you feel you can get away with that in this industry, in this market, in this current time frame? With all the competition, the newest things coming out, these clubs are coming out like futuristic. They're super well put together. The equipment's, the newest thing with equipment, I went to the Ursa. I went to that convention, like the half of the thing. And honestly, I think nobody goes to the presentations. They just go to the expo. And sure. At the expo, it's all these equipment companies kind of like showcasing their coolest things, and it's everything's futuristic.
You were sending me pictures and some.
I'm like, look at this gold chrome plated, dumbbells. Look, it looks so elegant. It's just
luxurious.
Like the plates are like 1-inch thick plates instead of like those giant bumper plates. They're like super thin and they're just metallic. They're chrome and it's just cool, classy. Anyways, There's innovation happening at the equipment level. There's innovation happening in almost every major industry across the board. Look at taxis to Uber. Now look at the robotic Ubers, right? From Tesla just got released. There's those Waymos. Mm-hmm. There's just constant innovation. And what's going to happen over time is the companies that don't innovate, they're going to be long forgotten. Mm-hmm. And there's case study after case study across the board when it comes to companies that fail to innovate. BlackBerry, Blockbuster, Sears, Curves. Like they're all ancient dinosaurs now because they failed to innovate when they had the opportunity.
Sure, absolutely.
If anybody had the opportunity, it was Blockbuster.
The writing was on the wall too.
It started with Redbox.
Yep.
And then it went to, the mailed version of Netflix. Then you had to mail it back. And then obviously now we're in the streaming world. But what's going to happen with your gym if you fail to innovate? We've innovated over and over and we're constantly innovating. Like, how can we do this better? And I'm not saying you need to like change everything you're doing, mm-hmm. but if you're not willing to adopt AI, if you're not willing to adopt it because it's robots, they need humans to do the job and you don't believe they can do it any better, like you're wrong, honestly.
McDonald's is going to robots.
Everything's going to robots, everything's going to AI, artificial intelligence, automation. I'm trying to think of what industry won't be affected. We have a mutual friend that cuts hair. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think haircutters or whatever, barbers are going to be gone.
They've done it with nail salons. Yeah, machine. You stick your fingers in a machine and it does your nails.
Yeah, it's going to all, like everything is changing. So like, not to say like, hey, personal training is never going to get replaced. I mean, the programming is, mm-hmm. the programming itself, anybody can get it, but you could always get that. Like you could always go to YouTube and get a program, if you really wanted to, or all the fitness gurus were like, selling my program, my diet plan and all the things that's been for years like that. I think human to human connection.
Yeah.
Literally cannot be replaced because Well, I take that back. I mean, did you hear about that kid that had a relationship with his bot, AI bot, and then killed himself? Because
I completely believe it's possible.
Yeah. Like, this kid was locked in his basement all day, you know, just talking to this robot thing, you know, ChatGPT or whatever it was. And the thing, like, told him to kill himself, and he did.
Jesus. Oh, I did hear, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, the human-to-human connection, is that's, like, with AI, like, the emotional connection is there through the AI, because you could fall in love, apparently, with the computer. But, like, in-person relationships, I don't know, man. Eventually, it's going to go away. I don't know how. Oh, yes. I can't think of it right now, but, like, you know, everything. So what are you doing with your delivery? What are you doing with your product line? What are you doing with how you deliver the product via virtual or extra things that you can layer into your product to make it more valuable to the end consumer? There, like, what are the things?
Well, I mean, like, tech is a good part, right? Like, just bringing in... There's a million different ways tech is now in the fitness space, right? From SPP and having your program in front of you and being able from
wearables.
Wearables, great example, right? You know, I'm sure 10 years ago, people were like, that'll never take off. You know, that'll never be a thing. People don't care about that type of stuff. And now it's almost the norm in training gyms, right? And so I think the premise is, like, not looking at everything as if it's never... Like, you have to be open-minded. You have to kind of see the trend, not in a way where you're putting all your eggs in the basket and you're forgetting everything that got you there, or fitness, that's, you know, the methods that have got us where we're at. Mm-hmm. But how can some of those things complement what you're doing to provide a better experience for the user, or make, you know, tracking easier, or using data back into their programming to deliver a better result, right? Like, all of those things, it supports what we do. It doesn't replace what we do in a way, right? So, but AI is a great example. I mean, I would say that's one of the areas where people have, like, a hard belief left or right. You're either embracing it or you're resistant to it. And I think, to your point, I mean, it's only going to be more and more ingrained in the daily stuff. I mean, I remember, like, I was having a conversation about that, about AI and just use in business and use in life type of thing. And I always remember the conversation back in, like, school. You know, you're in a math, you're in math class, and the teachers always said, you know, well, you know, you have to learn how to do the work, because you're never going to have a calculator in your pocket all the time. Well, that cell phone has every answer to anything that we could ever, you know, come up with. So, yeah, you can learn all of that stuff, or you can learn how to use the tool that's in front of you in order to get
ahead. Yeah, you know, I don't know your take on it, but, like, students using AI to answer their questions and stuff, they're not thinking. They're just clicking buttons, copy and pasting. So there is going to be a dumbification.
Absolutely.
That's a world.
Yep.
But there's also a communication gap between generations, right? So, like, everything was done on a swipe left, swipe right, text message. Nobody's calling anybody. To, you know, like, millennials and later, right? Millennials probably is the line in the sand. I think that's kind of your level, but, like, Gen X is a little bit older than you. That's what I am, Gen X. And it was all about handshakes.
Yeah.
Flying into town for a meeting type of shit. And it's really interesting because, you know, who's your client, right? Our clients are going to be a little bit older, and like, for us, but, like, there's plenty of gym owners listening to this that serve Gen X, Gen Z, you know, 2018, 22, 25 year olds. You better innovate to way, you know, meet them where they're at, because it's pretty interesting. We had a intern in here, one of our friends from the barn, and she was talking about how the guys at Arizona State don't know how to communicate with her. And, you know, she's sitting here, like, having great conversations with us because, I mean, she's at the barn working with people all day. And it was just interesting. Like, I'm so, like, interested in that part of the culture. It's just really weird. But, like, at the end of the day, who do you serve, right? So, you know, it's no secret, like, our client's going to be, you know, born in, you know, 50s, 60s, maybe 50s and 60s. So we just put out a 50s ad, right? Like, that was kind of the graphics. That was where my mind was a little bit. I was like, well, maybe this will resonate with the audience that we're trying to attract anyway. So, like, let's just throw these ads out there, and it's actually working already. I mean, it's early, right?
Sure.
Our market burns out in 5 minutes, but What are you doing at your gym? Are you still running the model with the old paint on the walls and the gym has never been updated? There's dust in the corners and like everybody around you is innovating and becoming better.
Or that new brand moves in.
You're going to be the Netflix or you're going to be the Blockbuster. You're going to be the Sears. You're going to be the Amazon. You're going to, you know what I mean? So like, you better, I mean, the writings on the wall, history will repeat itself once again. And it's not like, you know, guys listen to this with a mom and pop shop is like not like a major brand that's going to be taken down overnight, right? It's going to be paper cuts.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be that competitor picked off, you know, 24 clients or a dozen clients. And then that coach leaves. And then this other thing comes out and like Peloton and like, you know, even though that they didn't innovate either. They're going downhill too. So it's just real interesting to watch markets and industries go through the same phases. And what are you going to do as a gym owner? Hey, Tim Lyons here. And let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints profit and buys back your time. Okay. I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Loves Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025. Build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
You mentioned the generational gap or the generational differences. I think that it, because the human element, that's really apparent, right? I saw something this weekend where it was like, you go your average retail shop. You walk in, you've got a millennial, somebody young, something like that working. I mean, anything from like 18 to probably 25, right? Mm-hmm. But you walk up to the counter to get service from them. And you, the consumer, feels like you're bothering them.
Yes. Oh, right? My gosh.
Like they roll their eyes when you come up to ask them a question. Like that's not their job. Or, you know, you're going to check out and they don't even introduce, like greet you as you walk up.
It's ridiculous.
But it drives me nuts.
I'll tell you
a
story about this EOS I go to.
Yeah, go
for it. I want to take a picture of her. She's every day, she's sitting with her back, like she's up on the counter with her knees tucked to her, with her phone in her hand. She's the front desk person staring at the front door. And then when you scan in, she just looks up and then goes back to, whoa. Like I would fire her immediately.
Yeah, failed leadership is really
what it comes back to, right? Yeah, it's just that big box lifestyle, right? And it's just like, I see her every day and I just like, I don't want to correct her because it's so bad. Like I kind of just want to see how far this goes. She's still there. It's been 2 weeks.
But from the consumer side, right, you walk in every day, you know, you go through that process. The difference between having the person who you walk through the door, greets you, hey, Mr. Lyons, great to see you again today,
hey, right? Like, that's awesome.
That's where, and I think this is where some of the, like, the advancements, like, maybe we don't need to change the way that we're interacting. Maybe we just need to hold the line with some customer service and some skill sets and communication. But I think it's probably a dual-edged sword, right? It was, we think that, or we put our eggs in the basket for innovation, or we bring in tech, or we do some of these different additions, let's say, we can't forget the things that actually matter as well, right? Like communicating with your clients, being our buddy Matt Weaver, right? The heaviest weight in the gym is the phone. Pick up a phone and call your client, right? Yeah. When there's an issue, don't shoot out a text message or an email. Go to like the face-to-face interaction. Yeah. Go to the great, the communication of a phone call. Yep. Address the problem. I feel like more often than not, that, that age range where the communication skills have kind of fallen off, it's like they avoid problems. You know, yeah. they're not willing to address any of that stuff. Nobody wants to be uncomfortable and have an uncomfortable conversation.
It's true. It's true. I don't know. I mean, we can complain about it. I you know, bring Lindsay in here. Yeah, she'd, probably, yes. she'd probably say it's our fault at some level, right?
Well, but, it's the ownership. I mean, accountability, you know,
like,
ultra,
but we caused
ownership.
It somehow. Like, yeah. The way that you yeah, whatever.
Which is okay, right? Because, I mean, if in an organization, you don't sit the back and you don't go, you guys aren't doing this correctly. It's your fault. No, provide an opportunity to coach them on it, right? It is the onus is on the ownership and the leadership to go downhill and say, hey, this is the way you guys are doing it. This isn't the standard. This isn't the way it should be done. Let me show you how it should be done. And then create that standard, create the expectation, and hold them accountable to it. But, man, customer service is almost like a dead art at this point. But even at that, look at, everyone's got AI bots now doing customer service or handling, you know, questions on websites.
Yeah, I'm all about the optimization and streamlining the mundane and doing it better than a human can do. I'm all about it. Like, that's first thing I'm looking for is like, hey, can we outbound call these leads as they come in so Zach doesn't have to? Because he does, he calls almost every lead because he can just click a button on the phone and calls him and stuff. So like, but maybe he's busy and we miss that one, that two, that three a day that come in and we miss that call. Yeah. Maybe a little bot might call those people and tell them, hey, this is an AI agent. We saw that you had interest in our program. I'd love to just get you in touch with whatever. Can I ask you, there's so many ways you could do it, but that's not really the innovation I'm really thinking of, with this topic. This topic, I'm thinking about the gym.
Yeah.
The delivery systems, the model itself, the equipment that you have, are you innovating? Are you getting the next tech, you know, to make your clients get better results? Are you doing that, or do you just fight and change? Are you just like, hey, it's this way or the highway, or I built this, I'm not changing it because I'm, you know, type A personality. This is my baby. This is my thing. It's up to you. Like, honestly, everything to me is there's no emotion.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
No emotion built into almost anything. Yeah, I'll be bummed that like if I paid a lot of money to do something and then it's like, yeah, it didn't work. I'll be bummed.
Sure.
But like it's what the data says.
Exactly.
Give you a great example, guys. I have this house that I bought for an Airbnb over here. It's a giant house. It's like, you know, $4 million house or whatever, 3.8. And I'm like, I have the spreadsheet. I know what the bottom line number is that I could do. But in the summertime here, it just dead as a doornail and we're getting our ass kicked. Like there's just no bookings. It's just part of the way that's what 115 degrees will do to a market. Yeah. Right. So I'm thinking about ways to just, let's just sell this and do something else. I'm really looking at other investments at this point. And, my realtor brought these guys on a call yesterday for auction. So like they run an auction and it's really interesting how the auction works. It's like, there's no reserve, but you don't have to commit to the auction until you know the starting bids of all the bidders. So like they put it out to market. Here's the house going to go on, you know, on auction on this date, like a month in the future. What's your opening bid? And they come in at whatever price and we have to be okay. So this is where it gets really tricky. It's like, the opening bid, most likely, the guy says, it's going to be like $2.8 million. My break even is like $3.4 million. So we got a big spread there, right? And I'm like, well, I could, you know, right now it's on the market for $3.9. I can go down to $3.4 break even. So there's like $400,000 or $500,000 worth of spread there. But like, I have to say, I'm okay with this risk tolerance that we're going to hope that it gets bid up to our at least break even or higher. Obviously I'm not here to like, break even. But to me, I've got every data point that says I have no emotion in this deal. I don't have any emotion. I don't want to lose money. Like I'm not attached to that. This house is great, but like, I don't care. It's just a vehicle. And so like, I have to look at these numbers and be like, does this make sense? And I don't know. I have a choice to make because I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do yet. Sure. And he asked me, he's like, if I presented you this with five bidders in the $2.85 million, are you going to say no or yes to move forward? Because you have to sell it at that point. Yeah. Whatever that ends at, that's the starting. That's the lowest it'll go. And I'm like, I don't know because I have to say, I believe you will do your job and get me to this number and I don't know you. So how do I say yes to that question on this phone call? Yeah. He's like, well, that's a real good point. Like, you don't know me. I'm like, well, I'm just looking at data.
Yep.
Can you, like, there's not enough data. You can't tell me that you're going to do it. And so now he's like, let me get all the data points. That's exactly what he said. I'm going to get you all the data from the starting opening bid, the price of the house, how many percentage points it went up, and like where our last 10 landed.
I was going to say, yeah, get some social proof, right?
Okay, like, so maybe then I can make a decision. But like, man, what a risk, right? You want to take a risk to lose $600,000? No.
Nope.
Not feeling like that. Not feeling like that. Anyways, back to the point at hand. Like when we got rid of our large group training, it was no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We did kind of hold on to it a little bit longer than we wanted to, and that was kind of maybe the last episode, but like the numbers were super clear. It was like there wasn't even any question.
Well, you started this episode mentioning it, like it doesn't really matter what model you're in, like maybe it's group training. Group training is a perfect situation right now to like if you're in a group training environment and you're not innovating, you're definitely going to be left behind.
Yeah.
I mean, because
that's where all the innovations are coming.
And I think it kind of has to, because the competition in that arena versus semi-private or even the one-on-one world, like the competition in group training over the last 10 years, let's say, has exploded. And I think that there's an old saying about it, right? But, you know, competition comes into place. It forces innovation, mm-hmm. right? You have to stand out. You have to find what's going to put you back in that blue ocean mm-hmm. when everybody else is doing this.
Right.
And it's a necessity in order to get by. Not even to excel necessarily, but to just survive in an ultra competitive environment, you have to be the innovator. You have to have something unique, right? We talk about USPs and
I can't wait to get into another episode on that.
Dude, could you imagine just being left behind because it's almost like paralysis by, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like mostly what happens.
And it's exactly right. You don't have to scrap the whole business and start something new necessarily, but you have to see what can I do to stand out? What can we do to be different? How can we deliver? We talk about all the time. There's no strategic advantage of being the second most expensive in your marketplace. So what value can we bring to the table with what we do to be the most expensive in the market? And to be able to stand out in that.
Yeah, there's no strategic advantage from being second best. Yeah,
exactly.
We're the second best in town. Like
second best world second best cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, that arena that's probably still pretty good. But
that's pretty good. Yeah. So listen, guys, at the end of the day here, you got to look at your model. What have you been doing for the last decade, last 5 years, last 3 years, last year? What are you going to do over the next 5, 7, 8, 10 years that is going to put you out of competition and into your own market.
Market of one, yeah.
What are you doing? Hopefully that helps you guys. Until next episode, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next one. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link. And keep building something great, and we'll see you in the next episode.